So welcome here today. This is our second in a series called Teen's Choice. And last week, Pastor Carty spoke on social media and came to the point that made us realize that we are all have our identity in God. But she also identified herself as a millennial, and an older millennial, but still a millennial. And I want to tell you guys today that I also am a millennial. I'm also in that generation. And my name is Kevin, and I'm one of the technology generation guys. I'm just a bit of an older one. See, the truth is, I'm a Gen Xer, and the X actually stands for excellent. We are the excellent generation, otherwise known as the great generation, Gen Xers. Anyway, this is Teen's Choice, and we get to answer questions that our teens asked us while we were doing Breakfast Club. And we told them they could ask us what they wanted, and for three Sundays, we're going to be speaking on the questions that they asked. And the question I have is this: what does it mean to be called? It's a great question, isn't it? What does it mean to be called? And I want to say right off the start, right in the beginning, that our young people ask great questions. We want to listen to their questions. And I also want to say that I believe in our young people. We as a church believe in our young people. As leadership at First Baptist Church, we believe in our young people. And I want to tell you that what that means. That means that, well, it's easy to say that you believe in young people. It means that we need to take really seriously our value as a church to be intergenerational. It means that even as we affirm the great, honest, relevant questions that our young people ask, we are also respectful, responsive, and focused on the answers that they believe belong to those questions, not dismissive. Because the truth is that the young people aren't the future of the church. They're the church today. And if we want them to be the church of the future, we need to let them be the church of today. This means that we affirm our young people. We include them in all aspects of ministry, and we work alongside them. And I say yes to that. I say yes to including the young people. And we need you guys. I'm not used to looking over this way, but I think most of you are here, so I'm going to try to do it. It's not my natural scan. It's kind of I scan this way. But we need you guys. We want you guys. We really need you. Yes. I know there's a couple over here too. My kids, yes. Yes, we need you. Even you. We need all of you. We're better together. The question, what does it mean to be called? Maybe you are here today and you're thinking, hey, that's actually a great question. What does it mean to be called? And you're also wondering, where do you belong? What is your calling at First Baptist Church Kelowna, this body of Christ that you might belong to today? And all of us need to find our place and ministry in life, right? We need to find that. It's important. This isn't just a question for the teens. It's for all of us. And I see when you drum your hands like that, I think it means that I need to speed up or do something different. I'm going to take that as a cue that I'm maybe being a little boring, and I'll try to do something different. I don't know. Maybe we can jump up and do some movements or something. Okay, so you let me know, and I'll try to be aware of that. Never sit right in front, I think, is the rule. What is your calling? And what does calling mean anyway? We're going to dive into that today, and I hope that you leave here confident that you are called. So today we're going to look at a verse, a story in the Bible. It's an amazing story about calling. It's in the book of Isaiah. The story is about God's calling to Israel. Sorry, someone's got their phone on. Would you get that for me? Yeah, that's really awkward when that happens. Can maybe just bring that up here and I'll take that call. Sorry about that. I left my phone on. I'll call you back. I'll call you back, Kyle. Thank you for calling, though. That's good. It actually is kind of funny that I didn't want to get that call because I didn't recognize that ringtone. That's not my ringtone. I only get phone calls when I know the ringtone, because otherwise it's probably someone selling me something. And I didn't want to get it. And I figured there was, I'm surprised you were so assertive and went and got that, picked up that phone. I didn't anticipate that. I thought no one would get it. It'd just be this awkward thing that it'd just keep ringing. But it didn't. So that was really good. And you're very courageous. But no one wants to pick up a phone that's not theirs, right? Because we don't do that. And also, some of us don't do that. And also, we don't want to do that because it might be the wrong ringtone. Like, I have different ringtones for different people. This is when my daughter calls.
Wants to reach you. She does.
That's Kara. So do that again.
Oh, your daughter it is. Wants to reach you. She does.
So I know that's Karis, and I will pick up anytime that rings unless I'm busy. And this is actually another one. See if this is Cindy's ringtone. And just in case, Brian Garvey, who is the chair of the board, the elders board, calls, this is his ringtone. So it's because sometimes you just need to be mentally prepared when you get a certain phone call. Anyway, I am just going to take this opportunity to follow my associate pastor's example and take a selfie. What? And I think I'm going to favor this side because last time she did this side. So the trick is, you guys, if you don't know how to do selfies, you have to look at the lens, not the screen. Okay? I'm just teaching you guys this because I'm a millennial. Okay, you ready? You guys are looking great. Okay, just got to make sure I get my eye in the right place. There we go. Good job, you guys. I want to tell you something about when I was a teen. Things have changed so fast and so much, but it wasn't that long ago. Really, believe me, it wasn't that long ago. And I want to tell you something shocking. None of us had our own phones. We didn't have our own phones. And I don't know how we made it through life. I don't know how we ever got picked up after soccer. I don't know how we ever got home safely from school or other places, but somehow we did, and it amazes me. And you know what the worst part was? This was just the worst. And I want you guys to have sympathy with me for this one. If you wanted to call a girl and you called the home number, you knew it was going to probably be her mom or her dad that answered the phone. And it was just the worst when the dad answered the phone. It was just bad. And so you couldn't call her phone, you'd have to call the house. And that landline, and when dad answered in that voice, you're like, oh boy, sometimes you just hang up and try later. That was the strategy, because there wasn't call display, so if dad answers, hang up, call some other time. But if you were brave, you would say, hello, is Cindy there? Please? And then it would be, who is this? Which is the worst question, is, it's Kevin. And if you were in luck, he'd say, just a minute, and he would get Cindy for you. But we found ways to avoid this. Sometimes we would say this, like, I will call you at 7:32. Be by the phone at 7:32 and pick up, because I'm calling. Don't let anyone else answer the phone at that time. And we keep it secret and avoid the parents. But there was no personal-to-personal phone. It just didn't exist. Anyone could answer that phone. There was no such thing as a personal ringtone. It was just this generic ring, ring, ring. And you didn't know who was calling. It could be for anyone. And that was not so long ago. No finger tapping so far. Okay, we're good. And I think sometimes it's like that with calling, with being called by God. Sometimes we are waiting for that personalized ringtone, the tone that is just for us. But the phone is ringing, and God is waiting for somebody, please pick up and answer that call. Like Andrea. Very holy. So the question is not who is called, but who is going to answer the call? Often we stress the idea of calling as some sort of alignment of all the details, of all the talents, of all the ambitions and gifts and personality. Like everything has to be just perfect for you to be called. Like calling, you get this call from God, and it's your personalized ringtone. And that's the only way you'll answer the call. In reality, it's more like this. Ring, ring, ring. It's that boring ringtone that anyone could answer. Who's willing to answer that call? The person called is the person who answers the call. Because the fact is, each one of us is called. All of you here today, you are all called. And we can spend most of our lives listening for that ringtone, the perfect call, and miss the call that is right in front of us. Because he's calling right now. You want to know what that call looks like? It's a call to serve God and his people. We call that the church. And the cause of God's healing of creation that goes out to all followers of Jesus. And it's taken up by people of courage that are willing to answer that call. That's the call. Will you pick up? What we are looking for is a personalized ringtone, and we need to change that. Because what we get is that generic ringtone. It doesn't demand perfection, just somebody willing to pick it up. So today we're going to look at a story in the Bible about a generic ringtone. It's an amazing story about call. It's about a guy who was willing to pick up even though the ringtone wasn't personalized. It's in the book of Isaiah. And it's a story about God's calling to Israel and a calling to repentance. And it's a calling to for a messenger, a prophet. The man's name was Isaiah. And so Isaiah was sitting there one day and he heard the phone start ringing. It's just ringing away. He's like, who the heck is this? I don't recognize this number. I don't recognize the ringtone. Who is this? It wasn't so much ringtones, it was about visions, I guess. They had visions instead of ringtones. But he had this vision. It was God speaking to him in these amazing visions. And his visions were messages for the people of God, that God wanted them to come back to him. They'd walked away from him, and he wanted them back. He wanted to show them his love. He wanted to bless them, but they wouldn't let him. So Isaiah started having these visions, and there were messages for these people that God wanted them back. You know, the God we serve, the God of the Bible, the God that we believe in today is the same God, and he wants our everything. He wants all of us. He wants us to put him first. He wants our decisions in life, in every realm, to reflect him. It's not easy. And sometimes we tend to put life into compartments, into different little compartments. We have this school compartment for life. And then we might have a sports compartment for life. And then we might have a family compartment. And we might have a friends compartment for life. And then we go, okay, well, my life is pretty good. My life is pretty full. But I need this thing called spirituality. I need this thing called faith. And I'll create a new container for that, a new compartment. It's this little leftover container. and we put our faith in there. And Jesus, can you get in there, please? Like, I just want to put the lid on. I want to keep that contained, keep it separate. But it's not about that. It's about giving God our all. And so often we give God our leftovers. And we do that, I know we do. We make choices that put God and his calling in our lives last. It was like that for the people of Israel, for Isaiah. And they were putting God last. They were giving him the leftovers. And that's not what calling is about. And actually, it's not a very healthy or fulfilling or satisfying way to live. It leaves you empty, not filled. It's a pretty small container. Don't want to eat that. It's not going to fill you up. This is what else it does. It pushes spirituality to the side. It pushes spirituality to the fringe benefit. Like, it's just this thing that you add to your life. And our faith becomes about what we don't do, not what we do. Like, somehow, God is more interested in waiting for us to mess up. So our faith becomes defined by what we don't do. I'm a Christian, I don't get drunk. Or, I'm a Christian, I don't swear. Whatever the category is. You guys know these categories I'm talking about? I'm a Christian, therefore I don't, and our faith becomes defined by what we don't do. But God wants our hearts. He wants our everything. He wants all of us. Just like he wanted his people back then, he wants us now. He wants our everything. And he wants to come first. He doesn't want the leftovers. He wants to come first. He wants our decisions, everyday ones, about how you spend your time, how you love people, to reflect him. So God had a message for his people who are not putting him first, who are giving God the leftovers in life, and he desires them back. He's wooing them back. He's inviting them back. He's calling them. He wants to love them. He wants the very best for them because he knows that his best for them is so good. His best and truly and really and honestly finding your place in life with God is about true fulfillment and happiness. I love the picture that God gives of what it means for people to follow him. This cause, it's in Isaiah 1:17. Coming right up. There we go. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. For the people of Israel back then, coming back to God means not only giving up the bad things, but more, it means replacing those bad things with good things that we're called to do. Now, this is the vision that Isaiah had, and I want you guys to maybe focus on this. We're not going to put this on the screen. It's like a Rembrandt of words. I'm going to read this to you and just try to imagine. If you have to shut your eyes, that's great. Listen to this. It was in the year of King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I have lived among a people with filthy lips, yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Isaiah was completely overwhelmed by this vision. It was pretty overwhelming, don't you think, this vision of the throne room? Even though he knows it's a vision, it's powerful. Voices that shook the foundations, that's a lot of bass. I want a voice like that when I preach. I want more bass. Jack, turn that up. Thank you. It's powerful. And that reality is that that Jesus reigns and is full of power and wisdom. And besides, the seraphim were mighty and powerful. This is what they look like. I couldn't actually find a photo or a selfie, but I did find this drawing. I don't think it's even that great, but it was hard to find a picture of seraphim. You see their wings covering them, and they're powerful, mighty creatures. That would have been really scary. This is what happens. They were so powerful that when they spoke, everything shook. And I want to tell you a secret. Isaiah was completely overwhelmed. And it's an open secret, because we all have the same one. We all feel like Isaiah did inside. We all feel that way. We feel not good enough. Not up to it. We have doubts about ourselves. And teens, it's not just you, it's all of us. I'm talking to all of us today, but especially teens, know this, that you're not alone in this. Asking these questions, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I strong enough? Am I ready? Do people like me? Do I really matter? Do I know what I'm doing? What difference do I actually make? We all have those secrets inside, those doubts, those questions, and you're not alone. Isaiah felt that way, completely overwhelmed and unworthy. But this is what happens next. Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And what you hear next are some of the most profound, inspiring, simple words in the Bible. He says, "Here I am, send me." God was looking for someone to answer the call. Someone who was willing, not someone who was perfect. Not someone who had it all together. Someone who was willing. So the call went out. Isaiah picked up and he said, "Here I am. Send me." See, Isaiah was that guy just like us that didn't feel worthy. He didn't feel like he was good enough. But the call went out and there was no one else. And he took one tiny step. He just stepped forward and he said, "Here I am. Send me." And some of you, maybe, especially our teens, maybe not, are at a point in your life where you are going to have to step out. You're going to have to take a step. And that step can be terrifying. Let me expand on something, on that open secret, that all of us have doubts. When I have to come up here and speak, I'm really worried that you're going to be bored, especially the teenagers. So I look for those signs of shifty feet and stuff, right? Shifty hands, drumming. And then I have doubts. Am I a pretender? Do I have anything to say? Is it good enough? But I still have to step out. And when I walk down that hall, and I see my office, and there's this plaque on the door that says, "Lead Pastor's Office, Kevin Green." Wait, Kevin Green? I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know if I know what I'm doing. What if I make a mistake? Kevin Green, lead pastor? But we step through the door anyway. We say, "Here I am." I remember one of my first messages I was asked to preach, and I was terrified. When do you want to preach next week? I'm just saying, you're terrified, right? I was terrified. You should be terrified. I did not feel confident. I did not feel like I had anything to say. I did not feel like I had anything to contribute. I did not feel like one of those people that speaks in front of crowds and gets people excited. But I had to step out. I had to say, here I am. So I answered the call that day and preached a sermon, my first sermon. And I wish I could say that all of my fears were unfounded, that it was awesome, that I rocked it, that a good old-fashioned revival broke out, dancing in flames. But no. I stepped out. I took a risk. And I wish I could tell you, like the movies or American Idol, that it was magic and I got discovered, but it wasn't. Turns out my message sucked. It was terrible. If it was the X Factor, Simon would have stopped me halfway through. That was hard for me. I felt called to a profession where I had to talk in front of people, and I was terrified of it. What do you do? I was worried that people would fall asleep. Happens from time to time. Honestly, I like to think it's not me, it's them. I was worried that I would lose my place in my message. I was worried that people might just get up and leave. And worst of all, I was worried that my armpits would be wet in front of people. All of those things happen and have happened. Sometimes stepping out is the hardest thing you will ever do. Isaiah stepped out. He answered the call. He said, here I am. Send me. So what's your call in life? What's your call? There's been this misunderstanding of calling. Calling has been understood as something just for pastors or monks or nuns or something like that. But the truth is, we are all called to ministry. And God wants our hearts. He wants all of us. And He is calling you in every area of your life right now. He wants you to step out and answer that call. Here I am. Send me. All of you, and maybe the teens especially again, my advice to you is this. Never let the idea that you aren't good enough stop you from answering the call. Never let that stop you from answering the call. Because you know who's called? The person who answers. You know who's called? The person who steps out and takes one small step and answers. You know who's called? The person that says, here I am. Send me. And I want to tell you something that I know for sure. You are called to serve His church in Kelowna. I know that for sure. And for most of you here, that's this church. That's a general call for all of you. You have gifts and you've been called to use them, all of you. And teens today, let me talk to you in particular. You are called with your particular gifts. Your uniqueness that each of you has, your perspectives. You are called to serve this church, and you are welcome. You are wanted, you are invited to serve in this church. And we want you, we need you. We want to give away leadership, we want to listen to you, and we want you to know that you are so valued in this church. Who will go? Who will answer that call? Here I am. Send me. Who will go? Here I am, Lord. Send me. God is calling. All we need to do is pick up. Amen.